I have no doubt about 80. But then again, if I don't get 80 here, I'll get 80 there. But I will. Amen. I don't want to live as long as Methuselah here. But I guess if I felt this good at however age I was, that'd be great. Caleb could still take the mountain at 80. I could take it slowly. Who knows? Maybe I could just climb it like crazy. I'm thinking about running in the Old Settlers Day road race this year. I always wanted to wait till I was 70. But considering I haven't run, I think I ran once last year. We'll need a miracle. And why not? Why not do something? Who gives you strength? Yes, he gives us strength. If we will use it, he will give us strength. For the second time in less than a month, the Lord has spoken to me about choosing to use what he gives us. I was at a football reunion on Friday. One of our football players, the one that we prayed for today, David Pastian, they had planned to have a get-together for the 1971 Wolves season. I was fortunate enough in my freshman year to be involved with a team that was undefeated and went to a playoff game. And so the older guys were the ones that were really the champions, but we were in on that team, and this is one of the guys. He was a big and strong running back. They moved him to running back when he got to college. He was from Dallas, South Dakota. If you remember the Whitings, he was their nephew, and so they would tell me about their football playing nephew at Northern. Anyway, cancer has attacked him, and so instead of him being there for the get-together, he was the one who it was an honor for, because he's in Arizona, I think it is, having treatments. But I got to see a lot of my older teammates. And they slapped name tags on us, which was a very good idea, because some I didn't recognize. I have a picture that I got of all of us, and I was trying to go through the names to see who they were. I mean, this is now, after I'd been there with them, and the picture, I need to blow it up big so I can see, because some of them still aren't in it. I had one of the teammates that came out. We were probably an hour and a half through, and he came out, and I didn't really catch it, I don't think, when he said it. But he came and he stood beside me. He said, I think you've changed the most of anybody. Now, my first thought was, oh man, you're not looking at these other guys very well. They're barely recognizable. I just don't have hair. But I think that what he was telling me was is that I changed. I'm going to email him now and say I was a little slow on the uptake, but you're right, I have. I have changed. And so I had the opportunity, because they know what I do now, to talk to many of them about the Lord and about what the Lord had done in my life. And I told Vicki, I said, there was this one lady sitting there, and she reminded me of somebody, but I couldn't figure out who she was. And finally, I said, do I know you? She said, well, Carl and I have only been married for 6 years. I don't think we've ever met. I said, but it looked like somebody I know. And then I started to talk about the goodness of God. She said, oh, are you born again? So that was a wonderful conversation to encourage her and the Lord and another person. There were several. And they all wanted to make sure that I would be praying. Don't you worry. I will be. And that's just a work of God. God works in our lives if we just respond to it. The reason that I recognized her, she was my sister in the Lord. I recognized her and the You know, the Lord could have just said, "Why don't you go talk to her? She needs to talk to you." And but I outran him. I went there, or else he just wanted to see if I'd be quick enough on the uptake. You know, we need to be quick on the uptake. And even if we're slow on the uptake, take it. Use the gifts that God has given you. Use them. He has given you. What has He given you? He's given you everything that He's given you. Everything that you need when you need it, He's given you. And all it takes to use it or and to have it in the first place is to desire it. To desire God and to desire to be a vessel and desire to use what He has given you. We're going to work with you, little girl. To desire, you know, that's it. Probably 5 minutes into the reunion, one of my old teammates came to me, you know, and it was like a starting gun for knowing God is here. Because the first thing he came and told me, he said, "Not just between you and me, remember after that game? And we did things that we shouldn't have done. Because I was the instigator of it. But he had to tell me about what we did. Tell me about who I was." I said, "Ain't it grand? It's history. It's past. I lived through a lot of years, you know. But it was just funny. Remember when we did this?" And I had a couple of others that, "Remember when we did this?" And I had things I could tell them that I remembered too. But there wasn't any need for that. I just thought, wow, how wonderful the Lord is. You know? It was another one of those, "Well, He wasn't always perfect." I'm still not perfect. I'm still not perfect, but man, I am perfectible. I just love God. I love Him. I love Him more today. I know I love Him more today than I did the first day that I came to know Him. I just love Him. And He has proven true that there is more to Jesus. There is just more. Man, there is more, and I want more. I just want more. I don't care about anything else. I just want more. He is my attraction. He is my addiction. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is the one that's above all. He is. He just is. I won't say I'm sorry, but I'm sorry if you don't want me to say it. You want me to say that. Other people are not so sure about it, you know. One of the other guys asked me to, he's got a wife. I think she's younger than the rest of us, but anyway, you know, he said, "If you have a chance, talk to her." And so I went and I talked to her because he said that she was a preacher's kid. I know about preacher's kids. I wasn't one, but I raised several, you know. When I went to visit with her, I was able to visit with her about, you know, the goodness of God. And said, "So how did this come about?" And I just gave her my quick testimony from lost to found and things like that. And she said, "So how did you become a pastor?" I said, God did that. You know, steps came along in that. And she said, "Well, you know, my dad went to seminary and he just couldn't figure out why." Because she asked, "Did you go to seminary?" I said, "Well, I was in seminary for 30 years before I got saved. I learned all the devil's ways. And now I'm after God's ways." But, you know, and she talked about how her parents said he had to learn Greek and Latin. He couldn't figure out why he had to learn Greek and Latin. And I said, "Yeah, and a lot of guys lose their love because of that." And was just able to encourage her. And I got a text from her husband that said, "Thank you. She really appreciated the conversation. I just talked about Jesus." I mean, it was a trip well worth taking. To be standing there talking to them, and sometimes they'd talk. Some of them just went back to being on the team, you know. And they'd be talking, "Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry." I said, "Hey, you don't have to say sorry to me. I heard the words before. I used all of them a lot." You know, you just need to know God. But, you know, why would you say sorry to me? They respect God, not me. I'm still me. You're still you. Did you know that? You're still you, but you've been transformed into His image. But you're still you. And people don't necessarily know the you are now, but they know you. And the best way for them to get to know the you are now is to be the you are now, no matter who they are. To use what God gives you. Well, how do I know what he's given me? Just be ready. You will. John made me a wonderful gift. Bob made me one a few years ago. John made me an ice cream scoop. It's precious. I showed it to Vicki, and Vicki said, that doesn't go in the drawer. That needs to be on display. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, do I want to dip that into the ice cream? I got lots of stuff to dig out ice cream. But, you know, I think that he would like me to use it. For what he made it for. Use it for ice cream. You know? Not just, you know, people who think they are Christians, but maybe they aren't, and I'm not going to decide about that, but there's a lot of people that will say, I know that. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. So they might have it a little on display, but they've never used it. No. But to use it, to use what he gives you, that's what thrills God. To use it. When he presents it to us, you know, I was talking to him this morning, I just thought, you know, it's like when we say the name of Jesus, you know, it's like they have these Wi-Fi houses, you know, and they say, start my car and turn on these lights and do this and do that. And I thought, you know, when we say the name of Jesus, it's like the table that he's prepared before us slides out of the wall. And it's not cluttered, but it's covered with so much that God has for us. You know? And what we need is there. It's there. It's there. That table's prepared for us, you know? It's there, and it's like we can go and we can look it over, and maybe when we're looking it over, there'll be a piece that's highlighted, and that's what God has for us to put to use. You know, I don't know. It's an imagination that I'm still working with, but I thought about how it is. You know, it's like jewelry stores have these magnificent display cases, and some places they just break them up and steal the stuff. But they have these things, and they have them laid out, and they keep the glass clean so you can see clear through it, and they got it all in there, and the price tags are never right where you can see them, but they're there, and you got to ask for them to take them out, and everything on God's table is free, and you can pick it out by yourself, and you can put it to use. Because God will make a way when it seems that there is no way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we're living in a world where the Lord has given us everything that we need, where he has made a way, you have to wonder why we have so many people that instead of having the way, and people who are supposed to know better are trying to find a way to get away with things rather than get the things away from them. Churches that won't just stand for the truth, but instead they're trying to manipulate the Bible so they can get away with doing what will make people happy rather than getting that stuff away from them. Get away from me. Get behind me, Satan. You have no part in me. You know? Jesus didn't allow Peter to step in and say, oh, we got to stop this, Jesus. Get away from me, man. You're not thinking about the things of God. You're thinking about the things of man. Get away from me. We don't need to get away with anything. We're Christians. We're people who love Jesus and follow Jesus. Don't let yourself get into a place where you can get away with something, you know? Things are a big deal that aren't God. If they aren't God, they aren't you. They aren't for you. They have no place in you. And God gives you what you need to set it aside. Interestingly enough, not one person offered to buy me a drink. I thought that was amazing. I thought it was wonderful. Because the word's out. 40 years, it is solid. It's not going away. Jesus isn't going away. And we don't want to push him away. And we don't want to get away with anything. I don't want to get away with anything. There's no sense in compromise. There's no sense in it. And there's no sense in us allowing for compromise. One guy that spoke to me asked me to speak to his wife. He came and he was talking to me, and he and another guy were saying words that was one of those things. And he said, sorry. I said, that's okay. As long as you leave God out of it, you'll be all right. Because another guy had said, down on your knees, repent, down on your knees. The other guy was, you know. I said, as long as you leave God out of it, you're fine. You got put God into it, you're on your knees. Don't go saying nothing bad about my Jesus. Stand. We need to stand. We need to have wisdom from God of when to say what to say, but we need to say something. We need to say something. When you've done everything to stand, stand therefore. Put on the full armor of God and wade in. We need to say what's right. We need to speak the way. Because the other stuff is just wrong. Wrong and right are not that difficult. Gray, that's difficult. Well, maybe we should be a little more understanding. Maybe we should be a little kinder. Well, you know, Jesus was a sweetheart. But to the woman at the well, he said, nice try, but you've had five husbands. You're just living with a guy now. Now, she could have gone and walked off, but instead she said, wow, he knows everything about me. To the woman caught in adultery, he said, I don't condemn you, just quit. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You know? I mean, sometimes, you know, maybe to my child, I'll need to say, you know better. When they were being raised, we said, you know better, didn't we? You know better than that. Well, you're always their parents. You know better. Plant a seed. Plant a seed. Plant a seed. They'll give you a chance to water it. I've planted seeds for 40 years with a lot of people. And everybody knew seeds were planted. Not everybody was jumping on the idea. But nobody was repelling the idea either. It was really pretty cool. When we choose to use what God has given us, it's pretty cool. Because when you know that you've done what's right, it doesn't really matter what happens after that. Like the shepherds who came to see Jesus. They came, they saw a baby in a manger, and they went away rejoicing because it was just like the angel said, "Woo! We saw the baby in the manger." They're running out of town, going back to their sheep, and the people are like, "What did they say? What did they say?" If you can drop a seed and people are wondering, "What did they say?" Don't you think God can water that seed? Another guy that comes through town, I said to him, I said, "Have you started praying yet?" Because last time I saw him, I said, "I'll be praying for you." No, I haven't. But I got a girlfriend that, just like you, prays for me all the time. And again, he told me, I've had a good life. But what he told me didn't sound all that good to me. You see, a lot of the world, a lot of society, a lot of people have been deceived into settling for better than nothing. And they've been diverted and kept away from better than anything. And they've got all kinds of excuses why better than anything really isn't that big of a deal. I'm okay over here. I'm okay. Without Jesus, we're not okay. Without a sold out and radical love for Jesus, we're not okay. In fact, people who don't get sold out and radical may be far more miserable than anybody else. Because the seeds are in them, and every time something comes up, it's like a reminder. And all they need to do is step in. You might just be the person that makes the step in. Choose to use it. I went on a motorcycle ride this weekend. It was awesome. It was back in the saddle again, you know, and rolling down the road and singing and shouting and praising the Lord, and just all of a sudden I was overwhelmed with how good God is. Oh man, how could I possibly thank you for everything you've done for me? He said, "You don't have to." I said, "Yes, I do. I've got to thank you." "Well, you can, but you don't have to. I'm preaching the word to him. You know, the fruit of your lips giving thanks. You say that in your words, you know. I mean, I know I'm not going to win this argument, but I'm trying to get around the idea that he says you don't have to." He said, "Don't you think that I can see by the joy that you have that you appreciate what I've given you?" I said, "Yes, Lord, but I got to thank you." You know, he said, "Fine, but you don't have to." He gets the last word, you know.
He thinks he's God.
He is. He is, but it just, you know, he just catches you off guard sometimes. You know, I still have to chew on that some, you know. But you see, he does know our hearts. And he knows that out of the heart flows the fruit of the lips giving thanks. "I'm forever grateful to you." I mean, he fills us up. He fills us up. He just fills us up. You know, when you go to get water in a glass, you know, you can put a dribble in the amount that you want to drink at that time if you want. If you're a little more thirsty, you can, you know, put it in, fill it halfway up. Or you can just run it till it overflows. Don't just get a dribble. Don't get just enough to quench your thirst. I used to go through that with my mom all the time, you know. She'd take a sip. Mom, you need to drink more than that. Another sip. Come on, Mom, drink chug-a-lug, drink chug-a-lug, you know. let's get some down. Now, she couldn't do that. But you know, we choose this day who we're going to serve. We choose what we're going to say. We choose what we're not going to say. We choose. But the way to enjoy life to the full is to choose to use what God gives us. We're in an age where we need to be bold as a lion. I mean, we need to be bold. Jesus was bold. He wasn't obnoxious. He was just bold. He just said the truth. When you hear something and you know the truth, you don't have to figure out where you are. You're in a place to speak the truth. One of my football buddies said, "Boy, you know, we got to pray." After I left, I forgot. I should have asked him if he was a warrior, you know, because he sounds like he's one of the Patriots. He said, "We got to do something, man. It's just crazy." I told him, I said, "You know, we, to a certain extent, in the middle of the country, we're a little bit protected from a lot of stuff, but we less." Be on guard, and we best say what's best before that other stuff tries to set up a place. We don't need to be infected. We need to be like a flashpoint. If someone hits your flashpoint, flash. Stand. Just go ahead and stand and know that who gives you strength? Jesus. Who gives you strength? Who puts power behind the words? Who watches over the word to confirm it? I mean, this is life. This is joy. It is joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. I mean, it's just glorious. Let the light shine. Let his light shine. Let his light shine. I mean, your prayers for the jail just continue to be answered. People come in and say, "I'd like to commit my life to Jesus." And that's because they've been talking about committing their life to Jesus in the pod. And so somebody that hasn't committed, you know, they're pretty bold in that place, you know. You better commit. So they come in and they say, "I'd like to commit my life totally today." You want to do it now? You want to do it in the middle? When would you like to do it? We'll get this done. We'll go with the Lord's desire. And God always fills that in, and it's exciting. There's people all over the place that need to know somebody that's committed. Committed to them knowing Jesus. Committed to them having joy. Committed to them having more than enough. Committed to them having everything that you experience. And we need to be committed to having everything we haven't yet experienced. Because that's what God wants. He wants us to have abundantly above and beyond what we could hope or imagine. He said today, "I want you to be filled with joy." Isn't that right? I want you to be filled with joy. In many different ways, he said, "I want you to be filled with joy." And he explained why that would be so good. You know what's good. You know. Don't let anything blanket that. Don't let anything calm you down. They tried to calm me down 40 years ago. It didn't work. And there might be some that would say, if anything, he's getting worse. Oh, thank you, Jesus, what a compliment. You know? No, don't let it wear off. Don't let it wear down. Don't you wear down. Enjoy him. Enjoy him. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Just enjoy him. Check out the table once in a while, just so you know where everything is, so you can use it. Yesterday I was mowing, and I mowed a dollar bill. And it went in one side and came out the other, and it was still whole. Zoomed around, bent over, got that dollar bill. Stuck that dollar bill between my fingers and my gloves and kept mowing. Every now and then I'd check to make sure that dollar bill was still there. Still there. Yep, still there. A smart person would have put it in their pocket. But I kept the hold of it, and every time I'd say, boy, it's still there. Yeah, it's still there, man. It, you know, every now and then I congratulate myself. I say, wow, it's still there. I got back, parked the lawnmower in the trailer, and then I went to work saving trees from the wild grapevines. And about 5 minutes into that, I looked and I said, oh, no. I forgot about my dollar. Walked back into the trailer. Fortunately, I forgot about my dollar when I was parking the lawnmower. There it was. Still had my dollar. You'll be happy to know I put that dollar in my pocket then. Finished saving the trees. Came into the house and said to Vicki, I got a dollar for mowing the yard today. A miracle dollar. It was mowed and good. It was lost and back. It was wonderful. Oh, what a dull life he has. He gets excited about that. No, it's all good. It's all good. God is good. I speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I talk to myself to get stirred up. I'm so thankful. I don't want to become a was Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. I am. And maybe at 70, I'm old enough, I can just say anything I want. You know, when people get old, they can get away with that. I've been that way for 40 years, so I don't know. I just want to encourage you. God has so much for us. Let's use it. Let's put it to use. You know? I'm not going to frame that dollar. I'm going to spend it. Maybe I'm going to give it away. Maybe I'm going to pass it on with a story. You know, you can put a story with anything. And Jesus is in every story. You know? He's just good. He makes you feel good. There's a lot of stuff in this world that doesn't make you feel good. There's a lot of things that can happen to you that doesn't make you feel good. You know, young people commit suicide because they just don't feel good. Things are just bothering them. Just, what do you mean joy? What do you mean? Oh, you're old. You can be joyful. No, a lot of old people ain't very joyful. I'm getting old. Don't you say that. Getting better. Because God's doing more work in our lives. More work in our lives. Lord, do more work in my life. Lord, do more work in my life. You put it in, I'll use it, Lord. Bless all me, my family here, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord, for you have used them to bless me. So bless them, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And make them a blessing, Lord, everywhere they go. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let them know exactly what to do, exactly what to say, and rejoice. Just go away rejoicing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.